Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Studios. Ian is here today. Hello, Ian.
What up, what up?
We got some Preds tickets to give away today. Preds and Bruins could be a Stanley Cup final preview. Yeah, I'm going to say things like this because the Predators are that good and the Bruins are that good. Could be a Stanley Cup final preview on Tuesday night. We will be giving away tickets later today in the program, and we will have a code word at some point that we'll give away here. So you'll have to be listening for the code word. And then after you listen for the code word, you'll have to be listening to the opportunity to call in when I give you the cue to call. And then if you follow those steps, you will be seeing the Predators and the Bruins on Tuesday night. And I assume these are pretty good seats. So good luck on that front. So I wanted to start on this today, which is we are less than a month away from the NFL draft. In fact, 1 month from today, the NFL draft will officially be over because it starts on the 25th and it goes through the 27th. And today is the 28th. So 1 month from today, the draft will be over. Joe Alt, Marvin Harrison Jr., Roma Dunze, Olu Fashanu, Johnny Joe, whatever, will know. In fact, I kind of get excited for that because usually the end of the draft season personally means that it's time to get back out on the lake, which I can't wait for. But that's personal, and that's a different discussion. But I have realized that when we enter in that 1 month period before the draft, it turns into lying season. Remember this time last year? Every ESPN reporter, Jeremy Fowler, Todd McShay, everybody was saying, oh yeah, Indianapolis, they love Will Levis. If Will Levis isn't available for Indianapolis at 4, I don't know what Indianapolis is going to do. It was a lie. So everything you hear, you have to let go through your brain, decipher who told who what, why they would tell somebody what they're telling them, and then have it come on out the other side, and then decide for yourself whether or not you believe it. And for the most part, what I'm going to do for the next month, what I vow to do today, is I am not going to take media reports or assumptions about I hear they like and attribute that to fact. And I don't care who's reporting it. I don't care if it's Adam Schefter. I don't care if it's Ian Rappaport. I don't care. I'm going to look at teams' actions. What moves they make, what moves they don't make, what holes they have on their roster. And that's going to tell me what I think is going to happen, which can lead to one way or another the Titans being able to draft Joe Alt with that 7th overall pick. Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports Insider, was on Robbie and Rex Road today, and he was asked about the J.J. McCarthy hype and Jim Harbaugh talking about offensive line and everything else. And here's what Charles said. The root of the J.J. McCarthy hype really is.
So when I start calling around, I'm asking, like, where's this coming from? A number of personnel guys are, like, pointing a finger at Harbaugh. They're like, the guy won't shut up about the kid. Every time he sits down and someone puts a mic in his face, he's saying, J.J. McCarthy this, J.J. McCarthy that. He's the best quarterback in the draft. Like, all these different things. And there's a very strong suggestion that a lot of this stuff that's coming out about McCarthy is Harbaugh behind the scenes pushing it. And everybody's like, hey, isn't it convenient that every quarterback that goes in front of him is a good thing for his team? You know, all of a sudden he's sitting at 5 and every single thing, like he needs everything except for quarterback. And at 5, if he can get 4 quarterbacks drafted in front of him, everything's going to be there for him.
Oh, so it's Jim Harbaugh, J.J. McCarthy's coach, who's the one that's telling everybody, every chance he gets, how great J.J. McCarthy is. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? In fact, I think one of the biggest mistakes the Titans ever made was the draft pick of Corey Davis in the 2017 draft. The Titans were sitting there at 5. The Jets were one pick behind them. And the Jets had Geno Smith kind of entering that lame duck Daniel Jones type season. And as the Titans were sitting there at 5, Deshaun Watson had just come off of winning the national championship against Alabama. And I kept telling people the Titans should be telling every team in the league that the Jets are going to go draft a quarterback. so that that way, the pick in front of the Jets, everybody will call up and they will try to acquire that pick. The Titans did no such thing. And I thought, well, I mean, that's crazy. And instead, they picked Corey Davis, which was a terrible mistake. And so Jim Harbaugh is pumping up J.J. McCarthy to everybody that will listen because he wants to be sitting there at five with, again, as Charles Robinson said, the ability to pick anybody who's there. But again, forget about what's being reported and what's said and everything else. Let's just assume that that's true. That Arizona and a Harbaugh and the teams that stand to benefit the most by a robust J.J. McCarthy market, they're the ones that are pumping this up. Doesn't that then mean that we should start just thinking about what do teams really need as opposed to what teams are saying they're going to do? What are their moves telling us they're going to do? It's like I've said with the Titans are going to draft Joe Alt with the 7th overall pick. Now, the only way that doesn't happen is if somebody jumps the Titans in order to take Joe Alt, or one of these teams picking 1 through 6 decides they want Joe Alt. But again, remember how the actions tell us what a team is going to do. For instance, let's use the Patriots, a team that really has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but a team that kind of, again, will shape up common sense. The New England Patriots are saying they might not take a quarterback with the 3rd overall pick. There's a rumor out there that the Patriots may not like these three guys. They may try to trade out of the pick. They may take Marvin Harrison Jr. and then draft Michael Penix with their high 2nd round pick. Please. They just sent 9 guys to Jaden Daniels Pro Day yesterday. And not only did they do that, but for 1 year, $8 million with Jacoby Brissett, they're taking a quarterback. And I think you know that as well as I do. Just like early on in the draft process, there was talk that the Chicago Bears might have to make a decision between Justin Fields or Caleb Williams. And I said the day that Carolina lost and it ensured that Chicago would have the number 1 pick, I said Caleb Williams could be the quarterback there. And now, based upon their actions, we know that to be true. So we know that the first 3 teams are going quarterback. Caleb Williams is going number 1 overall to the Bears. Either Drake May or Jaden Daniels is going to Washington at 2. And whoever doesn't go at 2 is going to New England at 3. That, I think, is pretty simple. Arizona probably wants out of 4. They've already told everybody they'd be willing to move out of 4. And there's no reason to be willing to move out of 4 or to tell everybody that you want to move out of 4 unless you just want to see what everybody else has to offer. Harbaugh wants 4 quarterbacks to go so that he can get his pick of any player possible. That seems to check out as well. And then there's the Giants. The Giants sit there at 6. We're starting to hear now that the Giants are starting to hype up J.J. McCarthy a little bit, right? Private workout, going to the pro day, bringing him in for a visit. Well, again, doesn't it make sense that a team that has 3 tackles, no receivers, and they've already paid Daniel Jones a bunch of money, and they're going to owe Daniel Jones a bunch of money, and they brought in Drew Lock to be the backup. Doesn't it make sense that they would want to hype up J.J. McCarthy too, just in case somebody wants to trade up, or somebody wants to trade up ahead of them, better get ahead of the Giants, and they can get the receiver that they want. And then there's the Titans who want Joe Alt. And so forget about what we hear when it comes to Adam Schefter's reporting or it comes to Jeremy Fowler or Ian Rappaport or Mike Garofolo or Tom Pelissero. It's almost all lies at this point. Remember going into draft day, everybody thought in 2022 that if you wanted to get the coveted Malik Willis, you had to jump the Pittsburgh Steelers with the 20th pick because the Pittsburgh Steelers had done absolutely, positively everything to indicate that they loved Malik Willis. Except that they drafted Kenny Pickett instead. So when I think about what's going on here, I do think that there's probably some smoke to J.J. McCarthy. I think there may be some teams that view him as the 4th best quarterback, and teams like Denver or Minnesota know that they don't have a quarterback, so they're going to have to do something. But all this talk of J.J. McCarthy going 4th overall and things like that seems kind of manufactured. Seems to me like Harbaugh knows Arizona would like to trade out of the pick. Harbaugh wants to hype up J.J. McCarthy so much that somebody decides, I'll do what it takes, trades to four, quarterback, 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 and then right there, Jim Harbaugh can draft Marvin Harrison Jr. Doesn't that seem more likely? I mean, they did trade away their best receiver. They don't have any receivers on their roster. They have a Pro Bowl left tackle. Doesn't that seem more likely than anything that's been said? Doesn't it seem more likely that the Giants are making it known that they like J.J. McCarthy because they want somebody else to try to jump ahead into the top four or the top five so that a Marvin Harrison or a Malik Nabers drops to them given that they have no wide receiver? And doesn't it make sense for the Titans to be telling people that they like J.C. Latham or that they may be looking to trade out of the pick or that Brian Callahan would want the elite playmaking receiver over the left tackle because they're going to take Alt? When outside of bringing in Andres Pete for a visit as a swing tackle, they haven't even sniffed the tush of a left tackle in free agency. So again, forget what you're hearing. Forget what people are saying. Just look at what the teams are doing. Last year, I nailed on the head that Indianapolis was going to take Anthony Richardson. And the reason I did was simply because I loved Anthony Richardson. And when I saw the Colts telling everybody how much they loved Will Levis, and I knew that it was going to be quarterback, quarterback 1-2, and it was going to be in some order Young and Stroud, and then towards the end it was pretty obvious it was going to be Young number one, I said, they don't want Levis, they want Richardson. That's why they're telling everybody they want Levis. So don't listen to any of the, all of that scuttlebutt about, oh, yeah, I hear the Chargers, they're interested. I hear the Giants. Forget about that. The Giants signed Jermaine Illuminor, a right tackle. So they've got a first-round left tackle they paid a boatload of money to. He's their franchise left tackle. They signed a right tackle. They drafted a right tackle 2 years ago. They're not drafting Joe Alt, okay? They're telling us what they're doing. Forget about what's said. Look at the actions. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. And I do wonder if there is a Titans reason for why Jim Harbaugh has floated out all of this offensive line stuff, all of this Joe Alt stuff. I wonder if there is a method to this madness. And I wonder if Harbaugh might be targeting the Titans. We'll do that next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. TD at the top of next hour, as always. Hey, tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as Vandy Baseball takes on Missouri with pregame at 5:45. First pitches at 6. Vandy Baseball is brought to you by Smoky Mountain Tops, your countertop experts. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com.
Then he says this stuff about the offensive line. And I'm like, man, it seems like he really needs offensive linemen. All makes sense there. Seems like that's who he could take at 5, but he's very overt in his answers. So is this Jim also being like, hey, I know you guys are 7. I know maybe you want to tackle. Maybe you should come up to 5 and get the offensive tackle that you want. You know, or if Marvin Harrison Jr. slides to 5, hey, do you guys want Marvin Harrison Jr.? Come to 5. Like, there's a feeling, I think, amongst a number of teams that Harbaugh is playing the game right now, that he knows what he's doing and that he's sending signals out to all these different teams that at 5, he's going to be open for business. And literally everybody you want who's not a quarterback is going to be sitting there waiting for you. All you have to do is call them.
There you go. That was Charles Robinson today saying, look, it sounds like Harbaugh's playing the game. When Harbaugh talks about how the offensive line's the most important group on a team, he's sending out the signal to everybody that he's going to build it in the trenches. But could that be a signal to the Titans at 7 saying, if you want Joe Alt, come down and take him? Could that be what it is? And let me say this. I think that's exactly what's going on here. This is what I think is happening. I believe Jim Harbaugh is hoping for one of two things to happen with that 5th pick. The first is that it goes quarterback, 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 and then he takes Marvin Harrison Jr. with the fifth overall pick. And he looks at Justin Herbert, who has no receivers right now because Josh Palmer and Quentin Johnston do not count. I mean, I'm talking about real receivers, i.e. good players, and they don't have any of them. And so, I mean, it makes no sense to have a franchise quarterback in the NFL, which Herbert is, and for you to give him no weapons. And so if you didn't know you were taking a receiver for Herbert, then you probably wouldn't have gotten rid of Keenan Allen. Mike Williams is one thing. That guy was always hurt. He caught 19 passes last year and made $20 million. I mean, you can't have that. But as far as Keenan Allen's concerned, I mean, if you're going to get rid of Keenan Allen for a fourth-round pick, you better have a damn good reason for it. And in this case, I think the reason is he's going to take a receiver, and he wants, because he knows he's going to get either Neighbors or Marvin Harrison, and I think he's hoping like hell it's going to be Marvin Harrison. So, knowing that Arizona wants out at four, knowing that JJ is the hot item there, probably thinking Harrison's the best, let me tell everybody I'm going to draft a tackle so nobody feels the need to trade with Arizona to get to four to take Marvin before I can take him at five. I think the other thing he's looking for is a trade with the Titans. I don't think that he's worried about the Giants taking Joe Alt. I don't think that he looks at Atlanta at eight as a team that would trade for Joe Alt. And then once we start getting towards 9 and 10 and everything else, I think that he's probably trying to make sure that the Titans know that that fifth pick is either open for business or they're going to take Joe Alt. So if you want Joe Alt, you've got to trade with me. Again, if you're Harbaugh and you're doing the math on this and four quarterbacks go and you get to seven, you still, knowing the Titans are going to take the left tackle, you're still going to walk away with either Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Neighbors. That's probably the math Harbaugh's done. Harbaugh is probably trying to get the Titans. Every time Harbaugh says something or every time somebody comes out and says, I'm hearing the Chargers are going to go Alt, doesn't it kind of seem like there's a message about, hey, if you want to get Alt, you better get him before the Chargers do. And there's one team in the top 10 that it is constantly just circled and said, that team's a perfect fit for Joe Alt. By the way, Ian, where was the first time? Because there had been a lot of smoke about Harbaugh and the fifth overall pick drafting Joe Alt. Where was the first place you personally heard the Chargers' supposed reported interest in Joe Alt?
I think there was some Super Bowl buzz around it.
From who?
Was it you?
It was me. Remember, I came back from the Super Bowl, and I said, word on the street. Remember, we had Field Yates on at the Super Bowl, and Field told me that he was going to put his mock draft out the following Wednesday, and he made it clear to me that Joe Alt to the Titans at seven was going to be on there. And I told you guys on Tuesday after the Super Bowl that I had heard to not rule out Harbaugh and Joe Alt at five. That I had heard it from a league source, do not rule out Jim Harbaugh, that Harbaugh's going to want to build this thing in the trenches and that they can draft Alt and move Rashawn Slater to right tackle. That's what I was told. Field made it very clear to me that in his mock draft, he was going to have Joe Alt to the Titans at seven, and then 2 days later puts out his mock draft and he's got Alt to the Chargers. And then a lot of people started saying Alt to the Chargers. Well, I can tell you this right now. I did not hear Harbaugh and Alt. I didn't hear that from Harbaugh. I didn't hear that from the Chargers. You know me. I don't have any sources with the Chargers. But do you think it's an accident that it got to me? That at the Super Bowl, it got to me of, hey, watch out for the Chargers. Because you know who listens to this show? The Titans listen to this show. And so when I'm saying, hey, I'm hearing Chargers, and then everybody else starts, oh, we're hearing Chargers. Again, I think that that's the Charger. I think the Chargers have looked at the Titans the entire time, and they have said, this is the perfect team for us to trade for. The draft trade chart says that a move from 7 to 5 is worth a mid-third round pick. So even if It's just the trade chart we're going by. And the Titans don't have a third-round pick in this year or next year's draft. So it would complicate matters. But just going off of the trade chart, doesn't it make a lot of sense for the Chargers to do this? If, let's say, instead of a third, the Chargers are able to get a fourth and a fourth next year in order to make the move to go back. I mean, you're still getting another player, and Jim Harbaugh knows he's still getting Marvin Harrison or Malik Nabers. So I think all the Harbaugh smoke about taking a tackle, I think that is twofold. I think, number one, the first spot he wants to trade to is seven. And number two, and I think that this is incredibly likely, I think not only does he want to trade to seven, and he can dangle Joe Alt as the piece in order to do that, but also he could trade out of that again. He could trade to seven and pick up a fourth in this year's draft and a fourth in next year's draft. And then he could trade from 7 to 11 with Minnesota or with Denver or with somebody like that and maybe pick up a first in next year's draft or a second in this year's draft to make that move and then draft J.C. Latham or draft Talese Fuaga. Now that's their right tackle. And then they got another first rounder, and they'll get their receiver, and then they'll get another. You know what? Like, I think that that's what Harbaugh's trying to do. And I think the number one team he's circling right now saying, hey, let's try to jump. The number one thing we want is Marvin Harrison. If we don't get Marvin Harrison, let's circle Tennessee. And let's do whatever it takes to get Tennessee to think that we're going to take their tackle so that they have to move up. It reminds me of a story Floyd told me like the first week on the job. And it's not the right tackle story, but it is this story. Apparently, before the 95 draft, the Titans picked third. And everybody knew they were going to take Steve McNair out of Alcorn State. Everybody also knew that the Bengals were going to take Kajana Carter out of Penn State and that the Jags were going to take the left tackle, Tony Boselli. And so before the draft, Tom Coughlin calls Floyd and he says, I'm going to take Steve McNair. And they could. I mean, they were an expansion franchise. They didn't have a quarterback. And he said, I'm going to take Steve McNair if you don't give me a third-round pick. And Floyd said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to trade a third-round pick. If you take McNair, I'm taking Boselli. So I'll take the player you want. If you want to do this despite me, I'll take the player that you want. Problem was that the Oilers had a left tackle. And not only did the Oilers have a left tackle, but they also needed a quarterback. Bud Adams told McNair or told Floyd to make the deal. And Floyd didn't make the deal. And he told me that on draft night, when they turned that card in, and it was Tony Boselli, that he let out a giant sigh of relief because he knew that if Tom Coughlin was not bluffing and took Steve McNair at number two after the owner had told him to make the trade in order to ensure that they get the quarterback, he knew he would have been fired. But he knew that Tom Coughlin wasn't telling the truth. And when Harbaugh tells everybody, or it gets out that Harbaugh is interested in making that move, I mean, the more I hear it, the more I think he's trying to circle the Titans. He's trying to get to seven, where he can still get either Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison if four quarterbacks go. And if four quarterbacks don't go and he gets to seven, now he's in prime range to trade again with Minnesota at 11, who has two first-round picks. And all of a sudden, Harbaugh can walk out with that fifth overall pick and turn it into the 11th pick and three other picks in this draft. So I don't buy that they're interested in Joe Alt, but I buy that there's something they're trying to cook up. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Speaking of lying around draft time, I think the Titans might be doing some lying of their own. We'll get into that, and then we're right to your phone. Stillman and Company right here on 102.5-106.3 The Game. Here on our program, be sure to tune in to 102.5-106.3 The Game for our coverage of the NCAA tournament brought to you by Toyota. Ready, set, go. Get your Toyota today at toyota.com.
A lot of people have Latham as the highest graded offensive lineman in this draft. And then a lot of others have Joe Alt. And so those guys are kind of back and forth depending on what you think. But when I look at Latham, the thing that worries me about his floor is that his footwork leads to his lunging, and his footwork leads him to a lot of penalties. So he'll false start because he doesn't trust his footwork against a speed rusher, and he'll hold because his feet don't get him in the right position to be in front of him so he can punch. People think of holding as, okay, you reach out and grab. But holding is more often a problem with your footwork than it is your hands. Because if you are able to be squared up against that guy, you're not going to grab him. You're going to punch him. But if he's getting around the corner on you, you're going to reach out and grab it. And Latham has enough of those plays that it makes you kind of wonder, okay, does he have the actual speed, foot speed, to be able to get out there against the faster rushers? Now, he is very fluid for a man his size. He's like 340 pounds. But he may be best suited to play guard. He may go out at right tackle and excel.
Trevor on our show earlier this week, by the way, I do not like hearing that. You know, Latham might actually be more of a guard than he is a tackle. No, no, no. So the Titans are apparently high on J.C. Latham, to where I think the report is that it's close between Latham and Holt. I think the Titans are using J.C. Latham. I think the Titans are going to tell everybody for the next month how much they like J.C. Latham, how much they like Fuaga, how much they like Fatanu, whomever, these other offensive line, Mims maybe. And I think the Titans are doing that because they're going to take Joe Alt at 7. And if for some reason Joe Alt's not there, they're going to take Olu Fashanu. I think they're taking one of the left tackles unless Marvin Harrison is there, which is not likely. So as we talk about, well, I think the Chargers are lying about this, and I think the Giants are lying about that. Here's what I think the Bears have already done their lying. That's over. They lied when they said, we're considering whether or not we should return Justin Fields as quarterback. Now, they were doing that to see if they could get something in return for Fields, and the answer to that was no. Washington isn't lying about anything. They're just going to take one of these quarterbacks. When it starts to come out which quarterback they might take, then there may be some lying. If for no other reason, because let's say they really, really like Drake May, they would float out that they really, really like Jaden Daniels in hopes that maybe New England would trade to 2 in order to get Daniels, and then they could get May plus a pick. But Washington pretty much can just, we're taking a quarterback and there we go. New England is lying, saying that they might not take a quarterback. They're going to take a quarterback. Arizona is telling the truth that they're open to moving the pick. And then the Chargers are lying about everything, and I think the Giants are lying about taking J.J. McCarthy. I think you're lying about having interest in J.C. Latham. Now, maybe the Titans could move back and take J.C. Latham, but I don't think that they look. The Titans are taking a left tackle, because as much as we talk about the right tackle story, left tackle for a right-handed quarterback is still more important than right tackle. So the Titans are taking one of the left tackles. They're either taking Alt or they're taking Fashanu. And so I think everything else is just, again, kind of a lie. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Texter says, the Chargers wanting Joe Alt just isn't believable. Why would they draft a rookie left tackle, move their Pro Bowl left tackle to right tackle? If they wanted a tackle, why wouldn't they take J.C. Latham or Fuaga and make that more likely as a right tackle? If I'm the Titans, I call their bluff. I agree. I think that what Harbaugh would really like to do if he can't get Marvin Harrison is, I think he'd like to move out with Minnesota, because Minnesota has 2 first-round picks. So I don't know what the draft chart says, but let's say that J.J. McCarthy is still there at 5, which is very likely. And Minnesota wants him. And again, reading the actions over what people are saying, Minnesota acquiring a 2nd first-round pick is for a quarterback. So let's say he moves out of 5 to 11, he can still get Latham or Fuaga, and he gets another first-round pick in which he can draft a wide receiver like Brian Thomas or A.D. Mitchell or Xavier Worthy or Ladd McConkey or one of these guys that will still be around in the later parts of the first round. I agree. I think it's a total bluff. I don't think the Chargers are going to draft Joe Alt. If the Chargers draft Joe Alt, I will be shocked. In fact, Ian, I'm thinking about guaranteeing it. I'm not going to guarantee it today.
A little early, yeah.
But I am thinking about guaranteeing it.
Okay.
Texter says, Will on Music Row says, we always talk about who's ahead of the Titans, who's behind the Titans, and what. We always talk about who's ahead of us, who's behind us, and what are they taking if the Titans trade back. So, Chicago at 9 is a very fascinating candidate here because they have a left tackle, but he's not a good left tackle. I think his name is Braxton Jones. I'm not totally sure. His PFF grades say he's not very good. And I just did some reading, like, you know, what do the Chicago Bears blogger websites say? And they say, you know, we could stand to see an upgrade over there at left tackle. So the Chicago Bears worry me at 9 because at 8, the Atlanta Falcons are not going to take a left tackle. The Jets are at 10. They signed Tyron Smith. But again, Tyron Smith is a Band-Aid. And I think that if a Joe Alt is available at 10, the Jets absolutely could be in play for that. It would be odd to draft Alt and not play him, knowing that Aaron Rodgers is going to throw a fit, but it wouldn't surprise me. But I could also see the Bears going at wide receiver, going at, you know, maybe Brock Bowers or even defense. With the Jets, Bowers, I think, is certainly in play. At 11, the Vikings are probably going quarterback. It sounds like Denver is going to go quarterback, and that may be Bo Nix, who Fitz came on the show yesterday, and he talked about how he says the people in the league that he talks to are saying Bo Nix is going to go way higher than the mock drafts say. So, again, that's kind of what you're looking at behind you. One texter says, is Quentin Johnston really that bad? If he's as bad as you say he is, the Chargers are definitely taking a wideout. I mean, I don't think I watched a single full Charger game this year, but I'm going to guess. I mean, I remember like seeing things during the year about how they totally blew the Quentin Johnston pick. And I had somebody in the league tell me, who was in the league at the time during the draft, tell me that the analytics on contested catches for Quentin Johnston was apparently terrible. Like at a TCU, that those analytics were horrible. And because the analytics were so bad, that it was like, yeah, I'm not sure I would draft him. I'm just looking at his PFF grades right now. He was a 58.9 overall. It does take young receivers some time in the NFL. You know, not everybody's Justin Jefferson or Randy Moss. But, again, I think all the metrics kind of say that he was pretty terrible. And so I'm just looking at kind of, you know, what the PFF grades are. And, again, they're not very good. And he dropped the football. Only 2 drops. That's not that bad. Okay, here you go. Contested catch targets, 22. Contested catches, 7. That's not very good. Yards per reception, again, not great. And, again, it sounds like he's a bust. Just from what everybody has said. Now, maybe Harbaugh thinks he can change him, or maybe Harbaugh doesn't want to pass, but sounds like he's kind of a bust. One texter says, if I'm the Titans, this is Devin from Dover, he goes, if I'm the Titans, I'm taking the bait. I'm taking the bait from the Chargers, and if Marvin Harrison Jr. is there at 5, I'm taking him, and if not, I'm going to take Joe Alt. That way, if I move to 5, I'm guaranteed to be able to get one of those 2 players. Risk. I mean, I think that the price to move from 1 to 5, and it would have to happen on draft night, because if Harbaugh wants somebody and that person is there, he's going to want to have the opportunity to draft them. So you make the trade ahead of time, and then you just decide, okay, if we make the trade, we make the trade. If you are the Titans, it would be your 4th round pick this year and your 4th round pick next year, probably, to move from 7 to 5. Because the chart says it would be your 3rd round pick. They would want 38, which you're not going to do. Now, you could give them 38, but they'd have to give you like a 3rd round pick and a 4th. Like, you could make it work somehow. But I don't know if I do that. Only because this team needs draft picks. This team's not in a position to where they can do what they did in 2018 when they drafted 4 players. Like, this team has got to, and that was a mistake, by the way, of what they did in 2018. This team needs actual bodies, and there's no way that you can do that by trading up more picks to move up to 5. Plus, do you really think they're going to take Joe Alt? 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025 here on our program. So Barry Trotz and I think, have had a pretty solid on-air relationship over the first year that he's been doing this as general manager. But there is something that I said that made Barry Trotz very uncomfortable. And yet, I actually feel very confident that I'm right about what I said. We'll get to that next. Plus, maybe our code word for those tickets for later in today's show. We'll do that next. Stillman and Company right here on 102.5-1063 The Game. And let me tell all the fine folks out there that you can score big this spring with Lee Company and the Nashville Predators in their 10K Power Play giveaway. Enter for a chance to win a Kohler home generator or $10,000 towards Lee Company Home Services. That's right, a Kohler home generator or $10,000 towards Lee Company Home Services. Go online to leecompany.com/giveaway to enter. Again, that's leecompany.com/giveaway to enter in the $10,000 Power Play giveaway. Contest entries are accepted until Saturday, April 20th. I don't keep up with every other team. I hate when it comes to like league awards and asking what I think about them, because I don't keep up with other teams. Yeah. Like I keep with the Bears. I think there's a pretty good chance in your first year you might win the General Manager of the Year award.
Oh, I don't know about that. I hope not.
You hope not.
I would rather see Roman Josi win the MVP or the Norris Trophy, because he's the guy that gets it done night in and night out. There's too many general managers that have done some wonderful things with their team. So I'm just that will be something that I'd rather have the team award or someone else win it than me.
I'm just saying, I don't think any of these other teams thought, maybe Philadelphia, I'm not sure any of these other teams thought they were rebuilding and all of a sudden have a 99.6% chance of making the playoffs and are dispatching playoff teams left and right the way you guys have.
Well, maybe I look at it.
He wants me to stop talking. I can see it right here.
Yes, I would like that. I look at it. I sort of joke around. I said I was trying to start a rebuild here or retool or whatever.
Something.
And I haven't done a very good job of that. But at the same time, the success of our team is it all goes to the players. It goes to Bruno. It goes to the fans who come in and get us through the third period.
Okay, there you go. That was Barry Trotz on the program, and he says he doesn't want to win the General Manager of the Year Award. I believe it's called the Jim Gregory Award, the General Manager of the Year Award in the NHL. And I'm just going to say this. I cannot tell you if he should or he shouldn't, because I don't know exactly what moves, say, Vancouver made in the offseason or Philadelphia made in the offseason or any of these teams made during the season. I'll just say this. It's hard for me to envision that anybody could have done a better job in the last calendar year than Barry Trotz has done. And I am talking about almost every decision that has been made, because a lot of these decisions were controversial. You know, these are the kind of moves that other general managers around the league look at and say, oof, it takes some stones to do that. I mean, remember, Barry got the job and immediately put John Hines on notice and kind of on the hot seat with this, hey, I think he did a good job at the end of the year, but I need to evaluate and decide what I'm going to do. And then he waited 6 weeks to find Andrew Burnett. And, I mean, I think everybody was saying, my God, how that is so wrong to treat John Hines like that. And Barry Trotz told you the whole time, no, I think John Hines is a good coach. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to see if I can get a better coach. And if I can't get a better coach, then John Hines is going to coach him. And if I can get a better coach, then I'm going to hire the better coach. And that's what he did. Culture was a big deal to him. Goodbye, Johansson. Goodbye, Duchesne. There's a lot of people that would not have bought out that Duchesne contract, because that's going to be on the books now for a while. And if it doesn't work, say Duchesne goes to Dallas and scores 25 goals and you're no good, people are going to be mad at you. And so I read up today on the Jim Gregory Award, and it is, it's basically the second week or after the second round of the playoffs, they do the voting. Because I was shocked that Don Sweeney didn't win the award last year after the Bruins set an NHL record for most wins in a season. And then I was reminded that actually it takes place after the second round of the playoffs, so the Bruins have been eliminated in the first round. So if the Predators make it to the Western Conference Final, Trotz probably wins the award. If they don't, it's probably up in the air. But again, I can't imagine somebody doing a better job than Barry Trotz has done in the first year as general manager. This team is loaded with cap space, loaded with draft picks, loaded with prospects, and they weren't even supposed to be good, and they haven't lost in regulation in the last 18 games, which is 22% of an 82-game season. This team's a cup contender, well ahead of schedule. And even some of the small moves he made, like Jason Zucker for a sixth-round pick. I mean, Jason Zucker is a top-six scoring winger who can play on the power play, who's got big size, playoff experience, and all he cost was a sixth-round pick. You know, a lot of these rentals go for first- and second-round picks, and you see a guy get traded, like Granlund last year, for a second-round pick, and it's like, what? What? A second rounder? You traded a sixth rounder, and this guy is better than Granlund. So I know Barry Trotz doesn't want to win the award. He wants Yossi to win the Norris. I'm sure he wants Andrew Burnett to win the Jack Adams. I'm sure he wants all of these things. But I'll say right now, I don't know how you could do a better job. I don't know how you could do a better job than Barry Trotz has. 615-737-1025. So that's going to be our code word. I say code word. I guess I'm going to go code words, which is our code word is the Jim Gregory Award. Why? Because the Jim Gregory Award is the General Manager of the Year Award, and I think Barry Trotz deserves it. TD will join us next. Be listening later in the show. I will give you a cue to call. I will tell you when to call in with that code word for Ian, and you'll get a pair of tickets to the Preds and the Bruins if you get it right. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. TD joins us next. The Legarius Sneed trade is done. So where do the Titans go from here with rebuilding their roster? We'll do that next here for the TD Power Hour. Let's talk about FanDuel Sportsbook. That's right. FanDuel Sportsbook is my official sportsbook app. And today is opening day. Grand slams, no hitters, and double plays are back. And there's no better place to get in on the MLB action than FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, and my official sportsbook app. Because right now, new customers can start the MLB season with $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. That's $200 you can use on money lines, totals, strikeouts, homers, you name it, you can bet it. And you can combine your bets in a same-game parlay for a chance at an even bigger payout. All on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So just visit FanDuel.com/JGM to join today and make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. 21 and over and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager, only $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.